Welcome to Off the Cuff with SDJ, a podcast about everyday life from the spiritual, the physical, and the metaphysical perspective. Each week, I'll bring you episodes that have a casual, laid-back, informal, and spontaneous look at this thing we call life. I'm Sunny Dawn Johnston. Now let's get started. And welcome, 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 everyone, to Off the Cuff with SDJ and, let me see, I always forget which hand, Judy Games. Woohoo! Hey, girl.
How are you? How's everyone?
I think everybody good. I'm good. There's lots of people that are really excited to hear from you today. That's what I'm seeing here in the comments. Very good. All right. Yes, for sure. All right. So let me just do a quick introduction. So first of all, welcome to Off the Cuff. For those of you that are new, I'm Sunny Dawn Johnston, otherwise known as SDJ. And today my guest is the wonderful and beautiful Judy James, who I'm really excited to share this conversation with all of you. If this is your first time for Off the Cuff, this is a high energy, conversational, enlightening, and meant to expand your heart chat with change makers in the world. And Judy James for sure is one of those. It's really meant to bring you and help you to connect with other really bright lights out in this world and give you some insights and maybe even help you to shift some perspectives in your own mind and heart. I'm Sunny Dawn Johnston. I'm a psychic medium, transformational thought leader, and change maker myself. I love learning about people, like when we really dig into who people really are, why they do what they do, and how they have gotten to the journey that they're on today. So we're going to start today. I'm super excited to introduce you to Judy James and tell you a little bit about her. So first of all, welcome, welcome, Judy.
Thank you. Thank you. It is so great to be here.
It's really exciting. I'm happy to have you here, my friend. So I just want to share a little bit about your about who you are. So inspirationalist, wife, mom, grandma, Reiki master, mind, body, spirit practitioner, co-author of 52 Weeks of Gratitude Journal, and hairdresser. Judy's been on a conscious spiritual journey since meeting me about 4 years ago. She loves deep soul connection through conversation, learning, and teaching. I wanted to just share with you what her definition of inspirationalist is, because I don't think everybody uses that word, and I love it because it's a different kind of word. So inspirationalist, one who inspires who aims to inspire others, one who believes whose beliefs tend to inspire others, and also one who professes to speak or act under spiritual guidance. So I love that. I love that term, inspirationalist. How did you come up with that, Judy?
I wish I could say I did it, but a mentor that I was working with came up with that for me during the pandemic time that I was off work and working on some pieces and some different things. And he said, inspirationalist, is that even a word? And he looked it up. Sure enough, it was. And it was like, oh, I love that. Love it.
I love it too. I love it. And it describes you too. I got to lift up my chair. And it describes you as well. Like, I think it's a perfect description for you. So you've had quite a journey in your life. And, yeah. And you said in your bio, you know, over the last 4 years, you've had a conscious spiritual journey. So tell me about the unconscious part of your journey. Like what led you to where you are today? What was your kind of past life? And then what kind of helped you move into a place where you became conscious of your journey?
So before, I looked outside for everything, outside of myself. I looked at acquiring things, at working more to make more money so I could buy more things so I could be happy. Okay, so you do more and you do more and you do more and it never gets there. So I'll never forget the day that I sat down and I said, okay, what is it? What is it that I'm missing? Because I'm missing something here. I'm not happy. I did all these things that I set out to do, but I am not still happy. What am I missing? So it's kind of strange because my grandma Zimmer came to my mind, which I wasn't really close to her. Didn't know, I didn't spend much time with her. But in thinking about her, I thought, what does she have? Why did she come to mind? And it was peace. She had peace. Mm. And I'm like, she had a really tough life. I mean, you know, she grew up in the Depression and farm and lots of kids, all this stuff. But I never saw her without a smile. Mm. I never saw her raise her voice. I never saw her get excited about it, you know, like upset about anything. And my mom said the same thing, and she knew her much more than I did, but and never said anything bad or judgmental about anyone else ever.
Mm. Wow.
And she had peace. And from that moment, I thought, you know, peace is what I need. Peace is what I want. Mm-hmm. So I think, I think at that point, I thought the universe was going to say, oh, here's your peace. Happy now. Here it is.
Yeah. You opened up. So here you go.
Well, sprinkle some little fairy dust around on everybody and everything in my life mm-hmm. so that I could have peace, right? Change everyone and everything else. So right. I could have peace. Uh-huh.
Yeah, how did that work out for you?
No. That absolutely does not work. Listen to me. You don't have to go through that. That does not work. Mm-hmm. So when I realized that really wasn't going to work, I started looking inward and discovered a lot of things about myself that I wasn't proud of, I wasn't happy about, I didn't know how to change those things. I didn't know why they were the way they were, where they came from, any of that kind of thing. I didn't know any of that. So that's when I started, you know, on this journey of trying to find that out. And, you know, peace did not come like I thought it would come. Mm-hmm. It came through a divorce. It came through, you know, losing basically everything and starting over at 50 years old, mm-hmm. which doesn't sound peaceful, but it was.
Right.
It was.
It can be. Sometimes it's just clearing out, right? And that's what a lot of times those major life changes, they do, is they clear out the span. And then we have the space to go, oh, mm-hmm. you know?
Right. There's room for something more. There's room for more.
Yes.
For something that I wanted. Mm-hmm. Choice is a big thing too, as I think about it. I didn't think I ever had a choice. Mm-hmm. Like I thought life just happened and this is the way it is. Mm-hmm. And so just deal with what it is. Deal with it.
Yeah.
Do your best. Fix it. Put your head down and go.
And go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so what, how did you discover choice? I mean, how did you figure out that actually is like, even in the times, because I think that's a thing is a lot of times it seems like it's something that should be so clear, like, oh, you are choosing this versus that. And it's not always the case. A lot of times choice is, it's always sitting there, but we have been programmed. This is the way, this is the only way. So we don't feel like we have a choice because the path is already laid out and you just take the next step. So how did choice become an awareness and an option for you?
Just really through learning that I had a choice. As I grew up, it was just ingrained in me that if you chose something, you stuck with it. Like that was it. You did not change your mind because changing your mind meant weakness. It meant you weren't a person of your word. Mm. It meant that you couldn't be trusted. You know, all those different things if you changed your mind. Mm. And that is something that's been very freeing to me is knowing that you can change your mind.
Yeah.
And that you always have a choice. Always, 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 always.
Well, that's such a great point because I think that a lot of times, you know, like I was talking to somebody one time years ago, a client, and they had already had like maybe they were 30 years old. They'd already had like 7 jobs and they hated the job they were in. And I said, well, then why don't you make a choice to, you know, do something different? And they said, well, I've already done like 6 or 7 jobs. And I said, well, it's pretty clear to me then that when something isn't working, you have clarity and you move on. And they're like, I never thought of it that way, because everybody always tells me that I should just do something. And I'm like, well, you're doing what they don't dare do. Right. So that choice to go, no, this doesn't work for me anymore, or this never did work for me, or what have you. And I like what you said, which I'm always saying, and I think it's so empowering, is even not choosing is still a choice. We always have a choice, and we might not like our choices, but you always have them. So what's been one of the hardest choices for you? What in your life, what's been one of the most challenging choices that you've had to walk through, that on the other side of that, you found that piece you were looking for?
I would have to say the hardest thing was, and is, continues to be, choosing myself, choosing my needs and even my wants. And that, even coming out of my mouth right now, sounds a little selfish. It really does. I was never taught that you should, you know, you need to come last. Like, everyone else's needs need to be met first. Mm-hmm. Part of that's being a mother, you know, and a woman. I think part of that's being a woman. But that continues to be something that I have to consciously work on and try to think about and keep moving toward, because I know how much I've changed since I've been aware of that, and since I've worked on that. I know how much better I feel.
Right.
And I know that I'm worthy of that now, which I didn't know. And so that probably is my biggest challenge.
And so those are good points, my friends. So if you're listening, so worthy, feeling worthy of actually putting yourself first. So much of it is training, the training of, okay, if you get a minute at the end of the day, go ahead and take a bath, and that's your time, right? That's how you're taking care of you. So that worthiness is really important. But what I really want you to hear is, so Judy has been consciously aware of her spiritual journey for about 4 years. And so a lot of times we think that, okay, as soon as I figure it out, like, clear, done. And she's still feeling that feeling as she's saying the words right now live, like, that kind of feels selfish. Mm-hmm. And that's, it's because it's so freaking ingrained in us.
It is.
It's so ingrained.
But I think the more we practice, and it is a practice like so many other things, the more we practice, and it doesn't have to be a big thing. It can be really small decisions. Yeah. You know, in my work and being a hairdresser for 40 years, that was ingrained in me in that business too, to accommodate everyone else.
Yeah.
And I still struggle with that 40 years later at times. I'm much better than I was, but you know, so what? At times, if I missed something of my kids, you know, not always, I did good, but there were times when I did miss things because I felt like I had to, you know, accommodate my clients who I love. I love them. And so you want to do that for sure. But it's just another place that I struggled. You know?
Well, and the sacrifice of yourself oftentimes.
Right. And they didn't ask me to do that.
Right. Exactly.
And neither did anyone else, really. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. They're just inquiring, hey, can I get in on this day? And you're the one that's changing your whole schedule and rearranging everybody. Of course. Yes. Yes. Yep.
Can't. No.
So, yeah. I did that too. When I for the first probably 10 years of my practice in this business, I didn't even have hours. I was just like, they would call and say, can, you know, 7 o'clock on Wednesday? And I'd be like, sure, 7 o'clock. My baby was going to sleep. You know, oh, yeah, I'll make that work. I'll just jump hoops. And then one day I was like, Your time is important too. And you're just jumping, and nobody's fault. It was totally mine, my responsibility. So I think that's a really important point, my friends. I hope you're listening. How we have a tendency to put ourselves at the back of the list, not because anybody else is forcing, but because it's so trained in us. Now, why do you think, so there's another piece, and one of the things we said we were going to talk about is empathy, and empathy is also comes from being an empath. And so when we talk about empathy, how do you think that plays into the need to make sure everybody's happy, make sure that everybody's got what they need, take care of everybody else, the sacrifice of yourself? Do you think they're interrelated, or are they just totally separate?
No, I think for sure it is. I didn't realize ever until some feedback. Or is that just me?
It's just you sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I didn't ever realize that until learning with you. But I remember back my whole life that I can feel what other people feel. Mm-hmm. Like when they feel something, I feel it. So when I feel it, it makes me want to fix it because I can feel it, and I can feel someone be disappointed, and I don't want to be disappointed myself. So I certainly don't want anyone else to feel disappointed. I don't want anyone else to feel left out. So, you know, all those things, you don't want anyone else to feel that. So you run around putting out fires everywhere so that people don't feel what you're feeling.
Mm-hmm. What you're feeling that they're feeling.
They're feeling. Absolutely. Right. That's the other piece of
it. Yeah. That's right. The tricky piece is that when you're an empath, you're feeling how other people feel. And sometimes you're feeling what you think other people would feel. So there's some discernment mm-hmm. there, because sometimes it's your own shit that you're projecting. But a lot of times for empaths, you're feeling what somebody else is feeling, and you want to, not only you don't want them to feel that way, but you want to protect yourself from it. So it's easier mm-hmm. to just juggle everything else and flip those hoops to possibly cause something to have somebody experience it differently.
Right. It always has been much easier for me to take it on than to watch someone else. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah, I agree. I've been there myself. I've been there myself. So in being an empath, what would you say are what tools have worked for you since you've learned that, mm-hmm. okay, I do this and it's usually at the sacrifice of myself. What tools have you learned that other people can benefit from that you're like, okay, these are the two or the three things that I've discovered that when I do this, I feel better and I don't feel like I'm taking it on and I don't feel as guilty maybe for putting myself first. What is that for you, Judy?
So the first thing I would have to say is my morning routine, which you taught me. And I start every morning. This is something I never miss. Mm-hmm. I get up at 5 and I have several different meditations that I do. I do some journaling. I ask for guidance. I ask for protection. I ask for how can I serve? Mm-hmm. And I feel like sets me on out for my day so that I'm much more conscious and aware of what's happening. The other part is, and this is a piece that I didn't ever know or realize because I was so taught to absolutely stuff my feelings down in a container, put the lid on, never look at them, touch, feel them, never feel them. Mm-hmm. So in learning about feelings, mm-hmm. and having feelings and all of that, I now know when I don't feel good, when something doesn't feel good. I recognize that feeling in the pit of my stomach. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because I recognize that, I can act on it.
Yeah.
When I didn't know about it, you know, I that feeling was there my whole life. Mm-hmm. I didn't ever, it was just always there.
Sure.
Until you start feeling a little better. Mm-hmm. And then when it comes, then you're like, what is that? That's from back somewhere. And it is, it, you know, it, it's my body's way of saying, stop, mm-hmm. hang on, look at this. What is it? And so, so that is huge too. That's just that, that recognition and that, that awareness.
Yeah.
And acting on it.
So, so what you're saying is that when you were kind of trained, you were always in a place of keeping the container closed because that's what you're supposed to do. Don't feel this. And you were raised with, weren't, didn't you have like a basketball team of brothers, five brothers. Okay. So hello, how would you, it, just in the times that you were raised in, how would you ever feel vulnerable enough to feel your feelings when you have all of that energy? I mean, wouldn't it be, you'd have to be bucking up to try to hold your own with all of them, I would imagine.
There was a pecking order and this girl had to be on top of that pecking order.
Yeah.
I remember times biting the inside of my cheek so hard that it would bleed to keep from crying, but I was not going to cry.
Yeah.
No way to know, because to me at that time, crying showed weakness and yeah. I could not be weak.
Yeah. Yeah. No. You needed to stay tough to be with all that male energy.
Oh,
sure.
Really tough.
Yeah. Yeah. So as you started to recognize that, okay, it's time for me to feel some of my feelings, take that lid off that container, and move some of that energy, then you could get to a place that I might just call even just neutral, where you're not stuffing mm-hmm. stuff down, so that then when something did happen, then you could feel it and actually feel it in the moment of having the experience, not, you know, delayed 25 years.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And then have a healthy response to that.
Right. Then I have a choice. Here comes choice again. Then I have a choice of how I deal with it. Am I going to stuff it back down again? Or am I going to bring it out and look at it mm-hmm. and feel it and move on?
You sure. know? Sure.
Those are my choices.
Yes. Yes. I love choice. I love choice. And this brings me to, I just got a funny little story. I got to share the story about how we met. I have to. It's so cute. Because it was, okay. It's about choice.
Your version or mine.
Well, I'll let you fill in the blanks. Okay. So it could be our version. So, because it does come down to choice. So,
yeah.
So was that 4 years ago then?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay. So 4 years ago, we were doing a retreat in Sedona and we were doing a very intimate retreat. I think it was 10 people. Wasn't it just 10 people? Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So really small, intimate retreat. And we had rented a house that originally when we signed up for the house had a certain amount of beds. And then when we got to the house, like two of the beds, I think, that were supposed to be twin beds so that there would be four beds were only two beds. And so as we went through all the people and assigned people their spots, Judy was new. I hadn't even met Judy yet. I think, how did you even track me down? Was it through?
No, I had done the MBS class.
Oh, you did do the MBS. Okay.
Yeah, I had done that. Oh, that was the only, well, besides CYL, you know, just the 2-hour class you did there, but then I did the MBS.
Okay. So you'd been in MBS. Okay. So, yeah. So we'd had MBS together, which is the mind, body, spirit certification program I teach mm-hmm. once a year. And so then we had, when we got done assigning everybody, I had two people left and I had one bed and I think it was a queen bed. So it wasn't like a king.
It was a double bed.
Was it a double? Maybe it was a full. Could have been a full. It was not necessarily like your best option, but I had two names left and it was Janice and Judy. And so I'm like, Janice and Judy. And so the way we did it is we just put names on the beds and then they had to go find their room. And we would take them to it if we knew, you know, when if everybody came at the same time. And so we went in there and I said, so we have two people in this bed. And you can choose to not sleep in the bed. And like, we have a couch available, but That's kind of the choice. And you looked at me like, seriously, you want me to sleep with a stranger? And I'm like, okay, this is the out of the box moment. Right? But you did have a choice and you made a choice. So what was your choice? Yeah. Do you remember that? Do you recall that being the same way I just shared it?
Well, I do, but there was also a twin bed in the room also. And oh. So I said, no, I'll just sleep over there in that bed. And you said, oh, someone else is sleeping in that bed. And I'm like, oh, really?
But that's so, not
mine. Yeah. But I did realize that I had a choice. And I thought, you know, I can either ruin this whole experience. Oops. Are we? Oh, there you are. Yeah, I think I was frozen for a minute. So I could either ruin this whole experience or I could just suck it up and say, you know what? Yeah, you did not get a bedroom to yourself, but oh, well, you got to make the best of it. And I did. And it was one of the most life-changing times in my life. Mm-hmm. You know? So it was wonderful.
And that's why I wanted to share it because mm-hmm. it was something that was out of all of our control. I mean, I wasn't comfortable with it either. I really felt mm-hmm. bad for everybody because it wasn't the way it was supposed to be and wasn't what we said it was going to be. But what came from that was, number one, you recognizing that and you having that choice, and also a very close friendship. I mean, you'd already slept.
Oh, for sure.
Right?
And, you know, I would pick her again, right? I sure. mean, you know, it's all
right.
good. It's
right. all good. So I think that the point in sharing that is that sometimes, you guys, when you are stepping into circumstances and situations and it doesn't feel like you have a choice, you really still do have a choice. But sometimes choices are presented to you to give you an opportunity to expand or an opportunity to step into something that might not be as comfortable as what you're used to. And that was certainly Judy. And after that first day, like, she was over it and done, and it became and it was fine. But I think our initial kind of, again, training kind of creates that feeling of, well, what do you mean? And then we have to step in and make a choice. Okay, am I going to step in or am I going to step out?
Well, and I spent in life before, I would have spent the whole weekend pissed off.
Mm-hmm. And I think like,
I would have, because that was not right. I signed up and I paid for a bedroom for myself and I didn't get that bedroom, right? Mm-hmm. And there was a time when I would have stayed in that all weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. And your soul was just ready. Your spirit was ready to let go mm-hmm. of that story and step into something different.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the miracles were everywhere after that. Mm-hmm. You know, because great friendships and everything I learned there. And I mean, I have connections with a lot of the people that were there. So it was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just a good example. It's just a good example of how things like that can shift us if we allow them to.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But I still always will remember your face.
I can remember my face
because I was nervous too. I felt
a story on me too. I know,
huh?
And you just wanted to tell this story on me too.
because the beauty of it was so powerful afterwards is yeah, really right. why. So let's talk about purpose a little bit, because one of the things that I remember actually from that retreat is that part of what you were there for was to kind of figure out, like, who am I? What am I doing? And where am I going? And figure out that, you know, that purpose that so many people are looking for. So for you, what have you discovered about purpose for yourself?
So I always, my whole life, I mean, from when I was young, was looking for what I was going to do or supposed to do. what would fulfill me? What would complete me? What would this thing be? And I have, you know, discovered through lots of years of going through lots of different things that it's not one thing. Mm-hmm. And it's really not anything, but it's how I do what I do. It's mm-hmm. it's every day and every moment of every day and how I choose to live every day. And when I have love as my purpose, then I'm full. I'm full and I'm at peace, and it doesn't really matter what it is that I do. But that brings that feeling then brings me to other things, right? Mm-hmm. Because I expand, and so it all builds on each other. So right. I just feel like now it's just come to just doing what I do with love. That's what purpose is to me.
Yeah. I love that. I love that message. I love that. Perfect.
Yeah.
Doing what I do with love.
Yeah.
Well, because I think a lot of people tend to look at purpose as this big thing that we're trying to achieve to get mm-hmm. to the place of going, okay, I earned my stars now. Now I'm okay. Okay. I earned my place in line. I'm good enough now because I've established my purpose. I figured it out. I've done it. I've completed it. And here's the big secret. It's not ever complete.
Right. Or it's like, I'm here, you know, and I always thought that too. Someday I'm going to get here. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be here. Right. And I have learned that day is not going to come, and that's okay now, you know, that's okay. Because in, you know, I always thought I would learn enough to be finished learning.
Right. Right.
But no.
Right.
But no.
Because here's a big secret. It never ends. The learning never ends. I felt that way too. I felt that way too. I felt like when I became a teacher and I was, and you know, I became a teacher 20 years ago and I was like, okay, now that I'm teaching, it ought to get easier. And it fucking did not get easier. I'm like, what the hell? This is like going, like I'm feeling like I thought I already had all my lessons. That's why I'm teaching. And then Spirit said, oh no, the reason you're teaching is for you to learn.
Yes. Yes. And here's some more.
Right. And I might not have chosen to be a teacher if I knew that I was going to have to learn all more shit.
Yeah. Taking the easy way out, right?
Right. Right. That's right. And as we've talked about before, we didn't sign up for easy.
No. No,
we didn't. We did sign up for fun.
Yeah.
And love.
And love.
Yes. Love is my purpose. I love it. And the way I do things with love. That's awesome. So we've been in a pandemic, and then we've been in an extended pandemic, and now we're actually still in a pandemic. How has it shifted you? Have you noticed anything? Has there been anything that's really changed for you? Have you had more insight around yourself or around others? Or what experience has this pandemic brought for you personally?
Well, it changed my life totally. Actually, because I started writing at the beginning of this pandemic. And I had been told before that I was a writer, or I had writing all around me, and I didn't ever see it or feel it. And so I just started and created all this content. I had had for a year in your mastermind, one of my goals was to get a website and start writing and do all these things. And I did a little here, a little there, a little here. But in the middle of this and starting writing, I discovered all this content for a blog. So I have content to write blogs for a very long time. I have, it was amazing. It was like 58 years poured out of me in those 6 weeks. I wrote from early morning till 7 or 8 at night. Mm-hmm. My poor husband would kind of walk in the room and he would just look over and I would still be there. And he would be like, oh, and he would head right back out. Yeah. So
because it was really,
it was so totally out of character for me because I'm not a sitter. I don't sit. I never have been a sitter. I've been, my work has been up and around and moving. When I wasn't doing that, I was cleaning the house. I was painting. I was doing, I was a doer, up doing. So this was a different kind of doing for me. Struggled a little bit with it once in a while with feeling like, oh, should I really be sitting here doing this? Because I was so used to being up doing things that I could see a change in, right? Yeah. So this was just so very different for me. But yeah, totally life changing for me. And totally.
Well, so Judy has been in my mastermind for, well, we just started our second year. And that was absolutely one of the things that was a goal that it's interesting how sometimes, you know, you have a sense of what you feel like you want to do or you're going to do, but you don't always know how it's going to happen. And here it's delivered through a pandemic.
It's just crazy. Mm-hmm. It just like everything, every experience that I had in my life that I thought was so random and so, what does that mean? And all of that, it came together like this. The only thing I can liken it to is like a domino thing, you know, like the dominoes just go and everything just came into place. And so I know now, because I struggled with that too, thinking it was never going to happen and when is it going to happen, and and I know that I just had to step back and trust and not try to make it what it wasn't going to be. And I was the master at that, at control and trying to, you know, trying to think it had to fit in this box like this, and it had to look like this, and we had to come this way and all of those things. And when I just kind of let loose of that, everything just came. It just came.
Yeah. Then spirit can line it up even better than we can.
Oh, there's no way. Mm-hmm. Like I think about it now and I'm just like, it's just so crazy. Mm-hmm. So crazy.
Perfect divine order.
And total and complete divine order. Total and complete. For sure.
Yeah. That's awesome. For sure. So people wanted to read your blog, Judy, where would they go if they wanted to read your blog?
My website is judy-james.com.
Perfect.
So you can find it there. I post once a week. And
Okay, now I have some just little fun off the cuff lighthearted questions for you.
I'm scared.
I bet you are. Okay, what's your favorite number?
My favorite number is 8, I think.
Eight. Okay, why 8?
I don't know, it just came to me. 8.
Okay, well, 8's the infinity sideways, so that's a great number.
Okay.
I like it. All right. What is one of the most exciting things you've ever done in your life?
Oops, I didn't get that. Sorry.
What was or is one of the most exciting things you've ever done in your life?
I have to say the Thailand trip. Yeah, that was the most amazing, not only experience, but growing. I grew so much on that trip. So very much. Yeah.
Yeah. So for those of you that don't know, a year and a half ago, I took a group to Thailand, and we did Bangkok, Chiang Mai, and Phuket. So it was like a 12-day, 13-day trip, and Judy was one of the participants, and it was a freaking amazing, amazing trip. My favorite day was the elephants still. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most exciting. Awesome. And we got Peru to look forward to.
Yay. Next year.
Next year. We would be packing right now. If we weren't for the pandemic, but see, if there wasn't a pandemic, then you wouldn't have been writing. And so see, it's all, all rolls into each other. Okay. What would you call my hairstyle? You're a hairstylist. So this is my style today. What would you call this?
A bouffant poof.
Bouffant poof. Okay.
How about that? I don't know.
I love it. I'll take it.
Rob shut up.
Tail. So Rob calls this the rooster tail, and she does not like my rooster tail. And I know this little piece right here is doing something. So I figured you'd have something I could classify it under for style.
Right.
All right. What is your favorite item that you use every day?
It's got to be hairspray.
Okay, what kind? Like, fill us in, girl.
Oh, Davines.
Davines.
It's a small Italian company, all natural products. I love, love
their
products.
So is it a pump or is it a spray?
It's an aerosol.
Okay, it's an aerosol. Okay, Davines.
Davines, yes.
D-A-V-I-N-E-S. I-N-E. Davines, ladies or gentlemen, if you have hair that needs to be sprayed. Okay. What is the best advice you've ever received?
I would say just to be myself.
Mm. That's a pretty good thing to be.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is.
For sure. Has there been anything that you have been pleasantly surprised by recently?
I would say just the whole thing we just talked about with the writing and all of that coming together. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That's been amazing.
And your last one. If you can remember this, I can't remember. So I don't know if you'll remember it or not. What the first thing was that you bought with your own money? Like when you got.
I think a stereo.
Ah.
And it had an 8-track player.
8-track.
And cassette.
Oh.
It was big time. None of my friends had a stereo that nice.
Yeah, do you remember what year that was? Because I'm thinking, so in 1981, that's when I got an 8-track and a cassette with a record player on the top.
Yeah, mine too. It had that too. Yeah.
What year?
It had to have been like 77.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. That's very cool. Yeah, I remember getting that stereo. I got it for my 10th birthday. So, I was like, oh, I've got, but I only had 2 8-tracks because 8-tracks were going out by then. But
yeah. In fact, I don't think I had any 8-tracks. I think I just had mostly albums.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And what was your kind of music that you listened to back then?
Oh, rock and roll. Rock and roll. Yeah.
All right. Doug, did you have a favorite band?
Kansas probably actually was my favorite band at the time. Yeah. Kansas.
I like some Kansas still.
Oh, me too. Love it.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. All right, my friend. So is there any message that you would want to leave with everybody that's watching and listening on the replay?
Just that, my idea of success has changed a whole lot, and probably some of that even due to the pandemic. And success used to be, you know, what I did, what I accomplished, a lot of that. And now it's more how I feel. And I feel so successful when I can have the feeling of enough. I'm enough. Everything is enough. And if I can be there, miracles happen when you can be there.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a beautiful message. Beautiful message to leave with everyone. So again, guys, if you want to go and read Judy's blogs and check her out, judy-james.com, right? And it's judy-james.com to go check out her writings from Pandemic Inspiration. And thank you so much, sister. I appreciate it. I love you. I'm so glad you were able to be here with us. I love your messages. For those of you that are joining us, or if you're new, thank you so much for joining as well. I'm here every weekday at 1:11 p.m. for this Off the Cuff, where you never know what we're going to talk about. Tomorrow, we have Susie Carter. Susie Carter is going to be talking about how to profit, how to make money and profit in your business. So I'm excited to connect with her. So be sure to join us tomorrow. And on Friday, I'll be doing some readings, live readings right here. If this is something that you got value from, if you enjoyed this, please tag somebody in it or share it on your page. That's how the messages, that's how the ripple effect happens. And we greatly appreciate it. If you had an aha, we'd love to have you share that in the comments as well. And that's it. Thank you so much for being a part of our community. Mwah, love you. Thank you, Judy. Have a good one,
everyone. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Off the Cuff with SDJ. If you gained some knowledge, if you felt a connection, if you got some ahas or insight into this thing we call life, if you feel like you're a little more elevated than you were before you listened to this podcast, then please subscribe to this podcast. And if you're already signed up, please rate and review it. I'd greatly appreciate it. If you want to get more information about me and what I have to offer, go to my website, sunnydawnjohnston.com. Thanks so much, my friend.